You're tuned in to the K-State Radio Network, and once more, we're glad to have you aboard for Agriculture Today. Well, you'll recall the USDA here a couple of weeks back released its semi-annual cattle inventory report, and there is so much data associated with that report that we can dig deep into some indicators that are important to the cattle market, which we'll do with our guest now as he provides this week's cattle market analysis. Lee Schultz is a livestock economist at Iowa State University. But before we review those finer details of the cattle inventory report, Lee, a quick glance back to the trades this past week. Not a whole lot going on there.
I think we can define that this last week as pretty steady trade, maybe a bit stronger than expected. Fed cattle prices, I think, are really a testament to the tight supply situation that we have. We are seeing more and more green cattle showing up on those show lists. So I think, you know, the fundamentals are really helping support really the live cattle trade. Feeder cattle prices, you know, we've seen some modest moves higher. Really, if you look at contracts through September, they're really about flatlined at 124. When we specifically look at the cash market for feeder cattle, you know, I think the calf market will definitely hold strong through most of March, and then may deteriorate as we get into April and into the summer months. I think the feeder cattle market is the heavier market. It's really the one that we are watching now. Really, when we look at the discount in live cattle futures, is really pointing to really strong demand for those heavy feeder cattle, and that's really showing up in cash prices. When you look at market watchers, I think we really are in three camps here. You know, the bears are maybe convinced that, you know, we did see the seasonal high in January and that we may see a little bit downward trend, but really since the 1st of February here, we did see some support in those prices. Some are maybe unnerved by some of the volatility we've seen in this market. And really, I think the third group and maybe how the market's been trading is really looking at the vastly improved fundamentals, very current in marketings. And at least we found some stability at these price levels.
Very good. Well, again, you've done considerable digging into this cattle inventory report on the beef side and as well on the contributions of the dairy industry to our beef supplies and our numbers, which we'll get to. But there's no question, as you look at the cattle inventory report in the broad context, that herd expansion in the beef sector continued in 2016, right, Lee?
And that was very much expected. What we've seen as far as cow slaughter over the last year, as well as looking at the heifers as percent of total cattle on feed, I think there was indications that we were going to see further expansion in 2016 just to start the year in 2017. Now, what was maybe a little bit surprising, it was a bit larger than we expected. And I really point, when you look at the breeding herd specifically, I think what was paid for, you know, open heifers, bred heifers, you know, aged cows over the last couple of years are keeping those cows in production now because a lot of money is really tied up in those females. And when you look at the payback period at current prices and what we're projecting for calf prices, it's really extended those payback periods on them. Also, when you look at the decrease this last year in bred and open heifer markets, I think that's given opportunities for some producers that maybe couldn't buy as many replacements the last couple of years because prices were so higher to purchase them here in 2016. And I think that's why we've seen both cow numbers and replacement numbers a bit higher than we expected.
Well, if we hone in on a particular here, Lee, and that is this level of heifer retention in 2016, you say you want to put that into perspective, look at it as a percentage of the total U.S. beef cow herd, and you say that percentage last year is down just a bit from 2015.
Well, that percentage was about what it was in 2015, actually a little bit lower, but I think the more important trend there that we've seen is it's been up significantly over the last couple of years, and what that really points to is this is really one of the youngest herds in history, and really it matches the backdrop we've seen over the last several years of significant liquidation in 2011 and 2012, and then rapid herd expansion the last couple of years. This young herd, it's definitely a plus when we look at terms of cost of production and efficiency, And we've added tremendous genetic potential to this beef cow herd.
And when we say genetic potential, because it is a younger herd, you're inferring here that we will simply see better rates of gain, perhaps, out of this current breeding herd out there?
Yes, being an economist, that is my inference. Just mm-hmm. I think we've continued to add younger animals, which would, by definition, get that maybe a little bit genetic progress, a little bit faster, maybe then under a slower herd expansion.
You say, though, Lee, the numbers tell you that as we progress into 2017, that this expansion will likely slow down.
I think, you know, when you look at historical herd expansion, really the rapid phase is really in that maybe second to third year, and we really start to see that tail off a little bit into years four and five. Being that we are in the third year of expansion, I think that would kind of match that historical levels. Also, replacement female numbers have declined as a year-over-year percentage compared to the last couple of years, so which would suggest that, you know, we'll see a little bit lower expansion rate in 2017. And also, I think when you look at the market fundamentals and price levels for calves and profitability for producers, that's definitely waned their interest compared to 2014 and 2015. So I think we'll see a little bit slower expansion, but prices are still at levels that I think should allow for follow-through on those expansion plans.
Let's then plug in here the impact of the dairy industry on the beef cattle sector, as per the cattle inventory report. And it's worth explaining here the dynamics involved as far as dairy calves either being put into a veal production sector or being held for finishing. And the relationships did change in 2016, you say.
And I think we're starting to really see that adjustment back to maybe historical levels. When we look at both the number of dairy animals entering the fed beef supply as feeder animals and the price relationships, especially the discount from beef animals to really Holstein animals. Really, in 2014 and 2015, you know, market fundamentals, profitability in the industry really drew a lot of those animals into finishing as opposed to maybe the veal industry. Also helped really, I think, support a little bit of growth maybe in the dairy herd because of those other income opportunities. Now, as we've started to see increase in beef production and cattle inventories, as we've documented in the cattle report, now I think we're starting to see a decreasing impact on the number of dairy animals needed.
To the point where here in 2017 so far, you say, the Holstein to beef steer price discounts definitely exist, you say?
They are quite, in fact, severe as we look at the current market. Now, I fully expect over the year, you know, we will start to even them out a little bit. We won't see the such strong significant discounts that we are seeing now. Realize this is only really about 6 weeks of data that we are dealing with. Also, I think what's getting a lot of attention in these current discounts is when we look at Tyson's decision to no longer offer contracts on Holstein beef going into their packing plants. That's got a lot of attention. Now, that Holstein fed cattle will be picked up by other packers, so I think it's more newsworthy than total impacts on the market. But as we look at the remainder of 2017, we're likely to see less dairy animals entering because the dairy herd is shrinking, the beef herd is really increasing. And also, I think when it comes down to finishing dairy calves, it's still important to look at what you're paying for a feeder animal relative to what the fed cattle price is. We've seen significant price decreases in dairy feeders as well as decreases in fed cattle. So I think it's still a determination what you can pay for that feeder as opposed to, you know, what are you getting for that fed animal.
Well, in the aggregate, Lee, when you look at all of this and then relate it to the likely market forecast, it seems to suggest that stability in the beef cattle sector may be at hand here in 2017.
Well, and that's what, you know, when I'm looking at a lot of these price relationships and the price levels that we've seen the last several years in concert with looking at the herd expansion, You know, I think we're pretty confident in saying that the biggest adjustment in prices is behind us. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we won't see lower prices in 2017, but likely not the big double-digit year-over-year price decreases because of these large adjustments over the last several years. It's more of tweaks in prices as we're seeing a growing supply situation.
Well, it's a good analysis of what the cattle inventory report is telling us down to the finer details, and we appreciate you going through that and as well offering your thoughts on what 2017 might portend with relevance to this cattle inventory report, Lee. So we'll talk again in a few weeks, and we appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
He's Lee Schultz, a livestock economist at Iowa State University, and he's among those who contribute regularly to this cattle market segment here on Agriculture Today.